Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and any dream will do. Listen, I'm no Potiphar, so close every door. Because, well, stone the crows. The brothers come to Egypt. Well, so did Jacob. Poor, poor Pharaoh. He's going to have to cue up the song of the king, because grovel, grovel, there's one more angel in heaven. Oh, king of my heart, won't you tell your story? Won't you tell us about those Canaan days? Won't you do the Benjamin Calypso for us? Just explain it. It's Joseph all the time. His coat, his dreams, his dad, Jacob and sons. Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Joining us today are the usual people asking, who's the thief? Right. Including Kevin Mega Mix Jager.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah. Kimberly, our go-go-go game master and unofficial babysitter.
That was a really good one.
Best day forever.
Yeah. Go-go-go game master.
And with us today is someone whose career is truly massive, so let's just hit the highlights. Highlights that would really be just an extensive career for anybody else. She was in Jerome Robbins Broadway, Shogun the Musical, Miss Saigon, Guys and Dolls, Damn Yankees, Call Me Madam, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Chicago, Steel Pier, Kiss Me Kate, Thou Shalt Not, and Thoroughly Modern Millie. Ooh. But that's not all, folks. She was the associate choreographer on All Shook Up, The Wedding Singer, Greatest Musical Ever, yeah. and Curtains, then choreographed On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, School of Rock, Disaster, and the current West End production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, as you may or may not have guessed from the intro.
Yeah.
Now, what did you leave out that wasn't a highlight? Because that was there's quite a list.
Oh, I know, right?
I was going to say, like, you had time to do other things?
I'd announce her name, but we've actually run out of time.
Yeah, so we're
let's give a big Broadway-wasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Joanne M. Hunter.
Go, 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 Joe.
That was so good. Welcome.
I did it sports ball-y and musical theater.
I like that.
I combined them
they
together.
They should do Joseph Megamixes at sporting events.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
Like, instead of like defense, like, go, 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 defense.
Go, 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 defense. You know what they say. Go, 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 defense. Steal the ball away. Yeah, 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 defense. Oh my God, that would be amazing. I would go to so many more sporting events.
If you go down to the Washington, D.C., they actually sing a song every time they score in the end zone, and it's fun.
What do you mean, like, they're like DC football team?
Yeah.
What are they called?
They're the Redskins. I didn't say the name on purpose.
Thank you.
But yeah.
I thought the Washington Redskins were like from like Washington State.
No. The Seattle.
Wait, I thought they were too.
I learned
too.
Something.
No, Washington Who's? Redskins, Seattle Seahawks.
I was like, the Mariners.
I don't know. Baseball. I mean, that's true, yeah. New York has two teams.
New York has three teams, and only one of them actually plays in New York.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But the Giants, the Jets, and the
Bills.
The Bills.
Yeah, but they're
Buffalo,
upstate, right?
Yeah, but that's New York.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, back to theater. Well, thank you for taking the time. Obviously, you're very busy, so I don't even know how you're here.
I don't even know, but let me just say something.
Yeah.
That intro just rocked. It was if you could see my face, my mouth was to the, my jaw was to the floor.
That was a career mega mix.
That was great. That was great. Thank you. That was very fun.
Oh, my pleasure. Let's go around with what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I have a little. There is tonic. I don't know why I chose to not have tonic.
That's okay. Shake it up.
Seltzer Bitters and Bombay Sapphire that was gifted to us, and now I'm misremembering.
Was it Justin Guarini?
I think Justin Guarini brought us some Bombay.
Oh, thanks,
and
Justin.
And I don't usually get Bombay, and I forgot how pretty the bottle is.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It is pretty, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That
but now...
baby blue.
Yeah.
Yes. But vapor infused is the word choice. I am now confused.
Great.
So if someone could explain to me
I got the vapors.
Yeah, I was going to say, it gives you the vapors.
And you have to fall in a chaise lounge.
Yeah, right. It might be outlawed soon, so you better be careful.
Oh, that's true, the vapors.
Oh, no.
Jen, what are you drinking?
Not as Not as fancy. If I would have known this was a drinking game night thing, I would have not made it a dry night. It's a dry night for me, so I'm drinking seltzer water with bitters, so it feels like an adult beverage.
Well, you're in luck, because we're going to make up for it.
Yeah, we gotcha.
Kevin and I are drinking the really, really good Silver Milagro tequila.
It's so good.
And that's a pretty bottle, by the way.
It's a gorgeous. These blue bottles.
These blue
really
bottles.
Pretty bottle, yes.
It's gorgeous. It goes down smooth.
All about that agave.
Yeah.
Nice.
But let's just start with some questions for you.
Okay.
We're going to start a little, because your career is so deep and massive, I'm going to start out with a
that
couple
good,
of...
Good thing you were talking about my career. Okay.
So you've been, we're going to just get right into it.
Okay.
You've been in the business at a very high professional level for a significant amount of time, but at different places around like the proverbial table.
Yes.
What are some of the biggest changes or shifts you've seen in terms of audience, the shows being produced themselves, or just the process in general over your time in the industry?
Oh my God, that's
a loaded question.
Or what's your favorite musical?
We're not a hard musical. Well, I mean, I think it's different, you know, as a performer. I think as a performer, just back in my day, you know, the musicals were more in the traditional sense, for lack of a better word, right?
Sure.
So they weren't shifting so much. Mm-hmm. I think now the shift is very, I mean, we're breaking in different genres of music. I mean, in the height of my career, the rock musical came into effect, the Les Mis, the Miss Saigon,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they were before, like Jesus Christ Superstar, all those were before, but they became big pretty much in the Les Mis days, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when, like, your whole music sheets and what you brought in, you were changed.
Right.
They weren't traditional anymore. You go like, oh, you got to come up with a pop sound. So I guess that was a shift, I think, for me as a performer.
Sure,
okay,
sure.
Pop? I mean, no one sang pop.
Right.
You know, not here. I mean, in London, in Great Britain, it was different, you know, because you had Andrew, the Lord, there. But here, I think we were more traditional, and then that shift happened during the course of my performing career.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a on the other side of the proverbial table, as you call
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
I think the genre has it's, you know what? I feel like it's a melting pot of everything,
mm-hmm.
which is a great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a little bit for everybody, because not everybody can do what Lin-Manuel does, right?
Right, right.
Not everybody can do what Kendra and Ebb did. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the idea that it's not just one thing anymore, that I feel like that the world of theater and storytelling has opened up to also include, especially a younger generation, but
mm-hmm.
still accessible for maybe a more traditionalist.
Cool.
So I think it's a great thing in that
That's
way.
Awesome.
Do
great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So taking another step into that question, I wrote these ones down. Usually I just make them up.
Okay.
So you've been involved with iconic productions like Jerome Robbins Broadway,
yes.
Miss Saigon, Millie, as well as iconic productions that changed forever how those specific shows were done, like Guys and Dolls in Chicago. But then you've been on the opposite end of that spectrum where you considered lost to time, like Shogun or Thou Shalt Not. Do you know?
I love you name my two bombs, but whatever.
Do you know when you're?
I like how you instead of saying that they didn't do well, you said that they were lost to time.
Yes.
That's a beautiful way to say that.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, they became they got on the encores list.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Hey, Millie is on the encores list this year.
So crazy.
Yeah. And then Chicago came from the encores list. Yeah,
first one ever.
That's
right?
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's nuts.
But so. From your perspective, when you're working on a show, do you know when that show has that magic? Or is there a moment where that kicks in? Or does everything feel the same until you put it out there and get the feedback?
Oh, God. You know what? Okay. I can tell you this. As a performer, and I think you have to be this way, you have to believe in everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's no way you can get on the stage, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The first example I'll give you... I won't say Shogun because I had a feeling we were not good, even though we looked good. but that was, I think at the time, one of the most expensive bombs ever.
Oh, really?
On the Broadway.
Really?
Yes, I do believe.
Mm.
Steel Pier.
Okay.
We did an 8-week workshop
mm-hmm.
back in the days when you did that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was phenomenal. It was my first time working with Stroh and Scott Ellis, and
yeah.
I loved every second of it. And it was just thrilling. And the creativity, also Kendra and Ebb.
Yeah.
Fred Ebb was still alive, and they they needed
they're
a new song.
They're pretty good. I've heard they're pretty
they're
good.
They're pretty good. You know what? Yeah. I think they might go places.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
We'll wait. We'll see how it pans out.
Yeah. Just they might not be the flavor totally. Of the month, so we have to be careful. Yeah. But they, I remember them going into another room, and then they came back after lunch with a new song. Just, you're like, I don't forget. Bleep, beep,
right,
out of
that's
here.
Amazing.
And I remember people coming to see, we did, I think, maybe 3 presentations or something. Mm. Everybody who came was, they thought, this is it. This is the next hit.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and when you're in it, you don't think of it. Oh, I don't think, oh, this is a hit or not. Even as a creator, you can't think that way. I got to create a hit. You can't do that. You have to do the work. So you, and as a performer, like I said, you have to believe in what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and it was also a great group of people. We just had the great time. And then, all right, we knew we got the green light to go ahead. We're going to do a Broadway production. It was great. Boom, we get to the theater. And I think, remember the first preview? I don't think I was really aware of what I felt from the audience. I just loved what I was doing on stage, so I could care less what the audience thought. Sure. I just loved what I was doing, and I loved everybody in the company. But I just remember the end of the show change, and Greg Mitchell, may he rest in peace, was my partner for the show, and we just blended so well together. And then mm-hmm. the very end of the show, so then I died. Oh!
Spoiler alert.
And then still I come back as someone else at the end of the show in the second act, and Casey Nicola and I were partners.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the end of the show, we knew something was wrong when almost every preview of the end of the show changed. So, and Casey and I, all we had to do was this crossover, and we would just, before the end of the show, okay, here comes a different crossover. So it was my first time as a performer thinking, something must not be clicking out there, whether it's with the creators. I don't know for sure because I wasn't privy to it.
Right.
But, you know, but then the reviews came out and they hated us. And it was devastating because I loved the show.
Yeah.
I loved it beyond belief. And mm-hmm. It was the only show, I think, when it closed or, you know, closed to that I mourned. I was so sad.
Yeah.
Another show that I wasn't so surprised. It was a show called Thou Shalt Not. It was another Stroman show, mm-hmm. who I think is just the cat's meow. I love her.
Yeah.
And I remember, so at this point in my career, I had some shows on my belt, and so I was more of the seasoned one in the company. And,
sure.
And, but that was my first time working for Lincoln Center, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember a few people saying, hey, Joanne, do you know when we'll know if we get extended or not? I thought, I don't know. I've never worked under this contract before. But, you know, I remember saying, I would think somewhere in the first week of previews or something like, we'll know we're going to get extended, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, I think, you know. I'll never forget. Oh my God, the first performance, I could feel immediately that the audience hated us. Oh. I mean,
oh, no.
Hated us. Also, it was right after 9/11. It was a tough time.
Yeah.
It was a tough subject matter that this story was dealing with. And we were taking our bows, and we do one final company bow. And I remember bowing, and I remember saying this out loud, start auditioning, because we are not extended. Curtain.
Yeah,
literally.
So, that was the only time I knew something was not right. Other times I wasn't sure, and as a creator, I never know. I mean, we just did Joseph in London, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know the show. You know, I was not. I've never done the show as a performer. I didn't know. So when I was approached by Andrew and Lawrence to do the show, I thought, yeah, I don't know the show. You know, I'm looking up. I was like, first of all, it's like 30 pages long. It's like, score! It's like gonna be so short.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I said, oh, there's no book. And so, when we reimagined it completely, so it's a very different way of telling the show than what I guess normally has been done. Mm-hmm. But
the whole thing is a mega mix.
And it's done in 7 minutes, and you're done.
You're done, and you walk in, you
sit down. In fact, the pre-show is longer than the show. No,
perfect.
Yeah. I thought 90 minutes no intermission was the trend, but I'm into this.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? See?
7-minute mega mix.
And still pay 3 full
intermissions.
Price.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's the first preview, and you know, I'm nervous, and I'm back there, and I've got my assistant next to me taking notes, and literally we finish, show ends, and the audience is on their feet. Now, I don't know, but if you know this or are familiar, but British audiences are not like Americans where they stand a lot. It's just not a thing. I think we stand. It's great. I think we stand too much sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And they also don't applaud when like the star comes out. It's just like, let's watch the play.
That's right. It's not the it's like not that. A typical thing there. Yeah. Well, our star Sheridan Smith got a huge, but she's a big thing there. But I didn't know her, but I loved her. She's a big deal there.
She's a Legally Blonde over there, and she got huge from that.
You know, I thought, good, she's a favorite. People know her. It's the first preview, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
The show ends. The people are on their feet before the bows, before the Megamix. Boom, on their feet.
What?
Then
on your
they
feet. That's
stay
something to live
on
to.
Your feet. Yeah. And then they stayed on their feet for the entire eight. It used to be 11. I cut it shorter to like an 8-something Megamix. The whole time.
That's awesome.
I was like this. I mean, you can't see my face, but my jaw was again down. I was clapping, thinking, what the. I didn't know. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It felt like a rock concert. I go, okay. And then, I mean, everybody, all of Rug, Really Useful Group, Andrew, they're all like, oh my God, we have a little, you know, celebration in the lobby. Yeah. And everyone is just over the moon. And I'm always cautious. I'm just like, really? You know, so I said, well, it's the first preview. You know, it was sold out, blah, blah, blah. The anticipation of the show coming back. Everyone's, you know, it's been reimagined, so people are, you know, I'm thinking, oh, are they going to be, really, who's this girl, Joanne Hunter? Because normally someone else usually does it, you know, and she's an American. Yeah. What's that about?
I like the way they imagined it previously. Right. I don't need to reimagine it.
So, you know, I was nervous because I thought, you know, one, I'm an American, two, it's redone, they might hate us.
Right.
So then the second show, same thing. I mean, and then we were sold out. 2,400 seats sold. It was crazy. I had no idea. And so I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But so that was a complete shock.
Sure.
So that's me. So obviously I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and curtain. No.
When it comes to Joseph, I know every song is a new genre, essentially. How did you, I mean, it seems like your career would have like led you to this moment where every song is a different genre. But how did you kind of tackle that?
Well, you know what? It's so funny because I didn't know that until I'm reading the script and then I said, I got to listen to some recording. So I just pulled up every recording I could find, you know, and I thought, it's pastiche. And so I thought, what it does for any choreographer, I think, gives you so many liberties, right? Mm. Right. I also was incredibly fortunate because I've worked with Andrew before, and I had sent him an email saying, okay, here are my thoughts on some of these numbers. This is what I love to do. I'd love to bring in a dance arranger, not something that he normally does or maybe enjoys. I'm not sure. I had heard other stories. I was like, no, Andrew doesn't really like dance arrangers, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know because
you had only done School of Rock.
With him.
With him.
I did Cats, but he says he remembers me. I know he does. But you know what? I'll take it. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. And he said, Joanne, I'll never forget. I had the email still. He said, you know what? It's time for a new Joseph. Bring him on.
Cool.
So I said, so I brought Sam Davis in. And I called Sam Davis. I go, listen, this is not a done deal. Would you be interested? Here are the dates. He goes, yes. I said, I've got to pitch you. I've got to see if this will work. And Andrew said, yes. Oh, great. We went into a rehearsal room, myself and Sam. Just, okay, here are my thoughts. This is where I love to go with this piece. This is the idea. Like for Canaan Days originally, when I kept listening to the recordings I heard, they go into, you know, it sounds like it's in a French cafe, right? You know, there's an accordion, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then it goes into a tango, you know? And I was like, in a posh, but in a tango. And I think, why? I mean, a posh is French, but the tango, I didn't understand why we were going in that world. And I thought, I just feel that's odd. And so I thought, I want to go into a can-can. I want to stay in the French world, and I want to start it off with the narrator being like an Edith Piaf. type feels. Like sure. She's saying, "Oh, these canon days," you know. So we segue, and then she literally pulls up her little pair of pants, and we see a garter belt, and all the ladies pull up their skirts, and we go dun 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 dun, and we go into a.
Oh, that's awesome!
And so you know, and then I thought, "Oh God, I hope Andrew's gonna," and he loved yeah. it. So I was able to play with this, and Andrew was so great, so wonderful. And he even said, "He goes, these dance arrangements are really really good." I said to
that's
Sam Davis,
"Awesome
score." So it was really, I was very fortunate that I got to approach the show completely brand new, if there's a way to say yeah. that, you know, with the yeah. revival, and to just reimagine it.
But that pitch is very compelling. Like, the pitch for a dance arranger, right. a movement, it's a very compelling pitch for a show like this.
Right.
And, like, in a time where everything's being reimagined, it seemed like the right time.
Yes.
You
so I was,
it.
And I was lucky that Andrew said yes. And
yeah,
that, you
of
know,
course.
And he gave us the green light to go forward. So, and he loved almost everything. I think we changed two ways.
The green light, the russet light.
The russet. Oh, there we go. Do not, I'm going to tell you right now, do not ask me to do the colors.
No.
We wouldn't know if you were right. Yeah.
Because they, everyone, all the cast yeah. know, anyone who's ever worked with me knows that I make up looks, and my one, red and yellow and orange and orange and orange and everything's orange.
Well, on that note, let's play a game.
That's amazing.
Okay. I made up a very silly game.
Oh.
Great.
Oh, for real? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens. Oh.
I play games.
We have cards. We have props. We have you don't know, but we have props.
Yeah, I'm excited. My Lexi Broadway show cards. I'm going to keep them in my.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. I'm terrible.
Bag
okay.
Front.
Were you going to ask, like, trivia questions? Oh, suck.
No.
Okay.
This is like half an improv game. Half
okay.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
So it's a game called Curtains.
Okay. Okay.
And so we go from curtain up to curtain down. So everyone pick out three cards
okay.
from the bag. Whoever wants to go first,
okay.
just pick
any three.
Any
one,
three.
One, two, three. Okay, I got three.
Perfect.
Okay.
So once we all have three cards, the first person, basically, we're going to create the plot of a new play.
Oh, Jesus.
Going
new,
one
okay.
sentence at a time, clockwise, which is this way.
Okay.
The plot of a new play with one of these cards?
With a few. So what
oh,
we're
okay.
going to do
okay.
is one sentence at a time. The first person is going to say, curtain up on, and they'll say something on their card.
Okay.
Hopefully it's a person, but there are show cards in here too, so it'll be funny.
We'll see.
Cool.
Oh,
then we'll move around the table, and then once the last person, so every sentence you make up, try and use one of your cards.
Cool.
When the last person has used the last card, the next person has to close out the plot and say curtain down.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. I'm
sorry. I'll let Kevin
okay.
go and then
all
Brian
right,
go, and then
okay.
we'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Let
thank
me pick
you.
Three.
Okay. So I start with curtains up, right?
Because I have three show cards. Okay. Am I supposed to say that? I don't listen
yeah,
to it.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
You can always repick.
Okay. These are fun. I'm going to switch one out.
Okay. I guess let's all cheat a little minute if we
yeah.
need to.
Well, I might switch when it comes to my turn.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
So curtains up on Emily Padgett standing center stage. Lovely Emily Padgett from Legally Blonde, Rock of Ages, Grease, Sideshow, Bright Star. So lights come up on Emily Padgett standing
right.
center stage in the middle of a giant fountain.
And then I'm supposed to add a sentence to that?
Yes. So like continue the plot of this play.
And out of the fountain comes the Lady of the Lake.
Okay.
But she's, because she
so
can
change. Oh, I see.
She can go through the pipes, obviously.
Right, to get to the fountain.
Yeah, and
got
she
it.
Comes out of the fountain and.
Because the fountain's connected to a lake.
Yeah.
It's
the
a
runoff. You know,
right.
Yeah,
perfect.
Totally.
Yep.
And it's Kayla Settle.
Okay.
And she asks Emily Padgett's character, what's wrong?
Okay.
Run on sentence.
Perfect.
Yeah.
She asks Emily Padgett's character, what's wrong?
Yes.
Great. Emily Padgett's character, named Mauve, sings to the Lady of the Lake what is wrong in a show-stopping opening number by the music team of the prom.
Great.
Great.
When, during the course of that amazing number on the modulation key change, out pops another character from the fountain, Andy Carl. Pops out of the fountain during right on the key chain modulation. He hits the high note, and then all of a sudden, he goes back to sleep and starts all over again.
Okay, so Emily Padgett's character is trying to figure out why the Lady of the Lake came and this whole big number started. And the reason she said something was wrong was because she has lost her dog. And she was hoping that the dog might have gone to the fountain because he was thirsty. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know what to do. So she calls her sister. Her name's Mauve. Her sister Pink, who's played by Laura Michelle Kelly.
Great. So Pink says that everything is upside down in her house. So she doesn't know which side is up and which side is down, what's black, what's white. She's very confused. So what she has to do is put their mother on the line.
Okay.
And obviously in like a split stage type of scenario, they're on stage, Carolee Carmello comes out.
Okay.
And is playing their mother. Whose name is Maroon.
Right. So Mama Maroon.
Yes. So Mama Maroon.
Mama Maroon.
Sings her song. And then, let's see. And then, from stage left, Isabel McCalla enters, holding a dog.
Oh.
That is named Blue.
Oh.
Okay.
As the dog, Blue, crosses the stage, from the audience runs Matthew Broderick.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wow. And Nathan Lane up the aisles going, stop. This will become a mega hit. Mega Blue on the Great White Way.
Okay. So,
this is great.
Okay. This is great. Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane have declared that this dog, Blue, is going to be a huge hit. And so they start creating this whole show. And so now we see like a montage song where Mega Blue is going all over the country and like getting more and more notoriety as this amazing show.
Sure.
Whilst Emily Padgett is like, and her sister Pink and her mom, Mama Maroon, are very sad. Trying to figure out, like, they're searching for the dog while the dog's on this big, like, tour with them getting bigger. And the final stop on the tour, the show Mega Blue combines with Zorba.
Of course.
It's called Mega Blue Z. And it's now the two shows have combined to make an even bigger mega hit. And that's when a producer's like, let's take it to Broadway.
So little did they know that before he passed away recently, Harold Prince had already, his estate had the rights to this crossover of Mighty Blue on the Great White Way.
Mega Blue.
You know,
and
so.
Zorba.
He had the rights already?
Yeah, because he was always one step ahead of everyone.
He knew it was going to happen.
So unfortunately, he passed. So, you know, the rights passed to his estate. And the estate followed his footsteps and won it 12 Tonys.
Okay.
Okay.
The estate did that.
Right.
Yeah.
Cut two. A surprise second act appearance by Leia Salonga.
Wow.
Who is suing the cast of Mega Blue.
Oh, no.
Because she had written a one-woman show for her dog, Magenta.
Okay.
So many clues.
But did you know that Magenta actually belonged to Alice Ripley?
Oh.
Yes. And what happened was that Sergio Trujillo stole Magenta from Alice to give to Leia. Alice then found out, had a breakdown, grabbed Magenta back, and then twirled down a pole.
Okay. And
now Kevin has to wrap up this show.
Right. And when she twirled down the pole, it was a pole that went all the way down into this fountain where she bumped into Emily Padgett's character, Mauve. And when she hit the water was like weird fountain water, and so it turned the dog Magenta blue. So then Alice said, you know what, I just went down this pole and it was hard to hold this dog, so I just need you to take it. And so she gives Emily Padgett's character the dog, which she thinks is her blue, and so then she's happy, even though her blue is now a star in a show that won a lot of Tonys because of Hal Prince's estate. Curtain down.
Well, that was, I would see it.
Yeah, I would see that show. I don't think I would get it.
It might be a Netflix. It might be a Netflix movie musical.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
The salaries alone.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say we gotta negotiate with Leia so that she'll just do an act two moment.
Oh my god.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So I want to do something that we haven't done in a while. We're going to do rapid fire questions. So I'm going to do I'm going to ask you some questions, and I just want you to just roll off the top of your head what the answer is.
Oh my god, my heart is beating hard. Okay, right. All right.
I believe in you.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
What is your signature move?
My hands underneath my armpits.
Okay. What was the hardest show that you've danced?
Steel Pier.
Okay. What was the standout show that you've done?
Guys and Dolls.
What was the hardest number for you to choreograph?
Oh, suck the fuck. Mega Mix.
Oh.
Just because it was long and so active.
Because I had to do it in a day.
Wow. Really?
In one day and teach it and stage. Yeah, anyway.
So like, step ball change.
So
step ball
change. Maybe it wasn't the hardest thing. But time constraints made it incredibly.
Step touch. Step touch.
Yeah.
Step touch.
What is the your favorite dance that you've ever seen?
My favorite dance I've ever seen? Oh,
or piece.
Mr. Monotony from Call Me Madam or Liberty, whatever.
Oh.
From Jerome Robbins.
Great.
It's so good.
Yeah. What is your favorite musical
that I've done?
No, like
just
doesn't
in
matter.
General.
Okay, my favorite movie musical of all time in the history of the universal world.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is gonna be so queer.
No, I love it.
The Sound of Music.
That's
oh,
great.
Yes.
Oh.
So good.
What does it for you?
Christopher Plummer.
Thank you. When he sings Edelweiss,
oh,
it's the
yeah.
best.
Or, I must have done something good. Here you are, Stan. Oh!
And
I've met him twice, and he knows that
really?
I have a crush on him. And he's kissed me twice. Just say, hi, Mr. Plummer. Okay.
Mm.
Yes.
He's a charming man.
Oh,
yeah.
And what's the best experience you ever had seeing a show?
The best experience? Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh my God! This is so not rapidy. It is it? This is slower than molasses.
This is the last one, so we can let it linger.
Best experience on seeing a show. Jesus, Mary, and Josephine. I think. Well, it probably has to be early on in my career. Like, I saw standing room of dancing on Broadway.
Oh wow!
When I was just here on a scholarship,
mm-hmm.
dancing, and that was something that I went oh.
I
want to do that.
Yeah.
I thought you said that you saw Standing Room for Danson, and I was like, did Ted Danson do a one-man show? Danson.
Ted Danson.
I know. I was just like, yes.
Honestly, I would see that.
I would see it.
Yeah.
Ted Danson stars in Danson.
Now, I have a question.
Okay.
So, quite a few of our listeners are aspiring actors and dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question is, when you are in an audition room, and you're seeing dancers by the hundreds and hundreds, what are you looking for? I mean, obviously it's different depending on the type of dance that they're doing in the show, but like, for what are you trying, like, what are the qualities that you're looking for in a young dancer?
Well, first of all, technique, but I'm not looking for a technique. I just assume and expected when you walk in the room. Because to me, if you've gotten that far, you should have that, right?
Yeah.
Then I want you to throw it out the window. For me, what I want to see is individual people. I want to see what you bring to the table. I always say to actors and dancers, I said, when you go to someone's house for dinner, you don't show up empty-handed, right? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't. When you walk into a room, rehearsal room, come with a point of view. Mm-hmm. And you get that
so
point
a casserole?
A casserole, yes. Three bean casserole, please. No, yes. And champagne. Yeah, okay. Right. you know, it's just like when whoever's in front of the room gives you what the meaning of the piece is, bring something to it. Don't just dance, because mm-hmm. there are tons of people who can dance brilliantly. You know, great good dancers are a dime a dozen. What makes a great dancer is what comes from the inside. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a point of view. You need to approach it from storytelling. Otherwise, it's just movement. And if you can kick your leg and turn, great. That's great for about 5 minutes. Then I'm bored.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me a story. So for that, and you get a note, I want to see you apply it. Mm-hmm. If I have to give it the second time, if I give it the second time, I'm okay, because it might not have been understood. It might have been my bad in the way I've explained it. If I have to give it a third time, you're not gonna get the gig from me.
Right.
But I want you to come with a point of view, and I want to see you enjoy yourself, because mm-hmm. when you enjoy yourself, I enjoy myself.
Sure.
Right? I think, yeah.
And with the ever changing, like we talked about how like musicals are changing, there's like becoming more amalgamation of pop and rock and all these things, and I'm sure that that also affects like the dancing that's happening on Broadway. So has that changed how you think young dancers should be training?
Yes. Yes, because I find sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes younger dancers, the younger generation, sometimes can only do one thing really well, whatever studio they've trained at, you know, they do that, but boy, teach them a different style, they can't pick it up. You need, just like money, diversify. Mm-hmm. Take all different classes, all different styles from all different teachers, because everybody in the front of the room has a different way of teaching, approaching material. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to work for the same person over and over and over again.
Sure.
You're going to work with different people. So you should learn to, okay, how do I pick up their material, pick it up quickly? How do I understand it? How do I interpret it? So absolutely, that is, you don't just stick with what you do well. Mm-hmm. In fact, find something you don't do well and work on that.
What, piggybacking off of Kevin's questions, in terms of transitioning from dancer, performer to choreographer, what advice do you have for somebody trying to change their primary, you know, expression?
Oh, that's so eloquent of you.
That's very nice.
It's the Milagro tequila.
Yeah, right? I think I need some of that. That was very lovely. I think if it's something that you want to do, see, put it out there with as many creators that you can. Can I get in the room with you? Can I watch? Can I just observe? Mm. And as many different, again, people that you can, because like I said, everyone approaches things differently. And what works for some person might not work for you, but you can always learn something from that person. Mm-hmm. And so start learning how they work, how you approach material. How do you create a musical from scratch, from an empty piece of paper. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that's the idea. Get in the room with as many people that you admire, and even if maybe you don't admire, still you can learn something. If you can, try to get in the room with them, even just to be a fly on the wall.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So you've done hundreds, if not thousands, of performances. are there any audience reactions or moments that you will never forget?
Good
or bad, or you know, like whatever the case may be.
Well, that first preview of Thou Shalt.
Yeah. That story's
the first
so
preview.
Good.
I think we even got booed.
Oh wow!
No. Yes, because there was a
title didn't help.
I know,
but
there was a Gurney ballet that opened Act Two.
Gurney?
Yeah, we were in. Yes, it was actually very clever, but again, 9/11 just happened.
Sure.
So it was a really, really difficult time for our country, our city. And we did this ballet, and it was people booed, and Stroman cut it and it was changed the next day. You know what I mean? It was just, it was, so that was, that I had never been booed before.
Have you ever seen people boo?
No, never.
No, it was, I don't think I've ever
we
been
had a little. It was not like boo, but you just, you heard a,
I've heard the groan.
To Kill a Mockingbird, they were cheering Boo Radley's name.
Oh, so I don't know.
I'm proud of that one. Well, in terms of the thousands of hours on stage and performances, how did you keep it fresh? What did you kind of dig down inside, like after X amount of years of doing X show, what helped you to keep it fresh?
You know, it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. But I just, I loved it.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the only thing I knew how to do.
Yeah.
So I loved, now it doesn't mean I had days where like, oh, this is going to be a tough show today. Mm-hmm. Or if the, you know, and I know you're not supposed to rely on an audience. You say that don't rely, but it does. A great or a vivacious, gregarious audience feeds you. It just does. It's just, we're humans.
So any audience that Kevin is in.
Right, yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Front row, every show I'm doing. But that, so of course that always helps, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, and everything, things are always different. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's never, any two shows are never the same. Never, ever, ever. So when something goes wrong, like I remember doing Forum, which you left off the list, by the way.
Highlights?
I remember doing Forum, and I came in, I replaced it, and I came in, I think, 3 or 6 months after it had been, 3 months? I don't remember. Anyway, I came in, and I had not been privy to when people walked in late, Nathan Lane would literally stop the show. And call them out, and then do the entire show that they had missed over again. And for I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. But then, you know, after like the sixth time, we all knew we're coming down 5-7 minutes late again, you know, later because of that.
Because he's redoing the show.
Yeah. He would go, okay, this is what you missed.
I'm going to miss the 10:15 train.
The
right.
whole show, it was, but it was brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it was so funny. He was so funny. He's so quick on his feet. Yeah, he was brilliant, you know. So those kind of things were just, I love that because they're spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's fabulous. I remember when I was doing Kiss Me, Kate, I think a cell phone went off and Stokes was doing his fabulous, one of his gorgeous baritone vocal ballads that he does. I can't remember the name of the song. You'd think I'd remember. But I think the phone went off and I think he said, you'll have to ask him, but I think he said...
We would love to ask him.
I don't know what if he said something like, do you want to get that or something?
Oh, that's amazing.
But then
continue on. Very early on in the cell phone world, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. But oh, that's also amazing. but then he never broke character and then continued on and he was, you know, brilliant. Wow. But it was just enough that you're like
someone's in trouble.
Somebody's in trouble. Audience.
Well, we actually did miss one of your highlights.
Which was?
Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's Corner, and somehow I forgot this was coming.
I've succeeded.
So, Joanne, welcome to Kevin's Corner.
Hi, Kevin's Corner.
How to succeed in Kevin's Corner without really trying.
I have three highly researched questions that came from me going on your website.
Oh, Jesus.
And then
it's so old, that
jumping
website.
Jumping from your website to Wikipedia. So
oh, Jesus.
We'll There's see
a
where
Wikipedia
this goes.
About me?
There isn't, but there's a Wikipedia about everything else, so I found a lot of really fun stuff. So we're going to see how this goes and what kind of answers we can get out of you.
Okay.
Don't peek.
So question one.
Yes.
You were the director and choreographer of Deborah Monk's birthday bash at the Gerald W. Lynch Theater in February of 2014 with special guests Andrea Martin, Victor Garber, Ron Rifkin, Scott Ellis, Charlotte Demboise. Jim Newman and Brandon Victor Dixon.
And Scott Ellis. Did you say Scott Ellis?
I did.
Yeah,
I
threw him in there. Sorry, I'm not listening.
It's okay. You don't have to listen until the end. Yeah. And Brandon Victor Dixon.
Yummy, by the way.
Love oh, it. Wonderful. Dixon of Doc.
I mean, so is Scott Ellis.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Hi, Scotty.
Dixon of Doc Creek, however, was a BBC television series about daily life at a fictional London police station with the emphasis on petty crime successfully controlled through common sense and human understanding. The central character was a mature and sympathetic police constable named George Dixon, played by Jack Warner in all of the 432 episodes from 1955 to 1976.
My goodness.
I know, right? The 1976 Gillette Cup was the 14th Gillette Cup, an English limited overs county cricket tournament that was won by Northamptonshire County Cricket Club, who defeated Lancashire County Cricket Club by 4 wickets.
I need to go to Europe with Kevin.
In the final at Lords. The Lords of Flatbush is a 1974 American drama film starring Perry King, Sylvester Stallone, who's actually credited with writing additional dialogue for the film, and Henry Winkler, that follows 4 Brooklyn teenagers known as the Lords of Flatbush, who chase girls, steal cars, shoot pool, and hang out at a local malt shop. So my question is...
Oh my God, I don't know, okay.
If you could magically transform into any animal at will, what animal would you choose and why?
Dog.
A dog? What kind of dog?
Well, I have a Rhodesian Ridgeback, so I'm going to say...
Isn't that a dragon from Harry Potter?
He's almost as big as a dragon.
That sounded
Harry
like a dragon.
They are so greedy. Yeah. I've seen them on the dog shows.
So why would you turn into a dog?
Well, because they're just the best animals ever. Mm-hmm. I love dogs. I love big dogs, short hair, floppy ears. That's my prerequisite.
Okay.
And because they're just... Because they're always happy. They're happy. They're happy to see anybody who loves them, no matter what.
It's true.
No matter what. And so just to go through life like that and just, you know, be happy and grateful that someone feeds you.
Yeah.
And I go, and then I get to poop.
I know, right?
And then I can sleep 20 hours a day.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Good choice.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
That sounds great.
Get scratched.
Question 2. Here we go. You were the associate choreographer for the Broadway musical Curtains that I saw with my brother on Broadway when we came to New York to visit for my birthday. The birthday problem, or birthday paradox, in probability theory, concerns the probability that in a random set of n randomly chosen people, some pairs of them will have the same birthday. By the pigeonhole principle, the probability reaches 100% when the number of people reaches 367, since there are only 366 possible birthdays, including February 29th. However, 99.9% probability is reached with just 70 people, and 50% probability with 23. These conclusions are based on the assumption that there is an equal probability for each birthday each day of the year, excluding February 29th.
That's really interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
A 29-cent robbery is a 1910 American silent short film that features the debut of Marie Eileen in the main role of Edna Robinson, a young girl who foils an attempt by a robber to loot her family's home. All the thief manages to take is her toy bank containing 29 cents. So my question is... If Disney decided to do a Broadway musical adaptation of the classic animated film Pinocchio, who would you cast in these pivotal lead roles?
Oh, Jesus.
Pinocchio. Who would you cast as Pinocchio?
I would cast... Okay, I can't remember his name. The actor who did the Spider-Man movies, the early ones.
Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Perfect. I'm in.
Wait, yes.
Yes. Who would you cast as Geppetto?
Paul Giamatti?
I was like, or Paul Giamangiani?
The musical director.
Either one.
He could do it.
He can be the cover.
Yes.
Great. Who would play Jiminy Cricket? Who I think would totally be a song and dance man.
David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Who would play the Blue Fairy?
Remember Pinocchio very well.
I'm so glad you said that.
She's the one that turns him into a real boy. Yeah.
Oh.
She's like the star he wishes on. When you wish.
Do you double cast Pinocchio as Wood and Real Boy?
Maybe.
Yeah.
He runs off stage, the grown up one runs out.
Can you imagine the dance he would do if he's doing like, I got no strings? Like, that would be such a good dance.
Familiar with strings.
Who is the, I'm terrible with names. Please, I would cast that fabulous actress that was in Hamilton who played the wife that got cheated on.
Philippa Sue?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great.
And then Stromboli, who is the old Italian man who kidnaps Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah. They named him Stromboli. Yes.
That's his name.
That's his name. He's an Italian man named Stromboli.
The actor who won the Oscar, who stood on the chairs and goes, I won the Italian.
Roberto Benigni.
He played Geppetto in the Italian version of
Pinocchio.
Yeah, he made his own Pinocchio. That was perfect.
I would see that in a second.
What a wonderful acceptance speech.
So good. Oh, when he stood on the chairs.
Right? He was so cute.
Oh, and that movie
is so
great.
I'm glad you remember
your
names. Yes. Look at me. Yeah, I'm with you. I love that you remember
names. That movie is great.
And here we go. Last question.
Oh, dear. Okay. Uh-huh.
You were the choreographer for the revised Broadway revival of On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, starring Harry Connick Jr. and Jesse Mueller from Waitress and Beautiful. Beautiful Boy is a 2018 American biographical drama film based on the memoirs Beautiful Boy, A Father's Journey Through His Son's Addiction by David Sheff and Tweak, Growing Up on Methamphetamines by Nick Sheff. The film stars Steve Carell, Timothy Chalamet, Maura Tierney. Is it Moira?
Moira is from Hook.
Thank you. Maura Tierney and Amy Ryan. Thank you.
Dr. Abby Lockhart from ER.
Yes. Yeah. And deals with the father-son relationship increasingly strained by the latter's drug addiction. Addiction by Design is a 2012 nonfiction book by Natasha Dow Shule and published by Princeton University Press that describes machine gambling in Las Vegas. Vegas Vic is a neon sign resembling a cowboy that was erected on the exterior of the Pioneer Club in Las Vegas, Nevada in 1951. The sign was a departure in graphic design from typeface-based neon signs to a friendly and welcoming human form of a cowboy. The sign's human-like abilities of talking and waving its arms constituted an immediate acceptance as the unofficial welcoming sign reproduced thousands of times over the years and all over the world. Have you seen that? Like the giant cowboy?
Yeah, it's like
Vegas.
It's downtown in like Fremont.
Totally. Yeah.
Not that I know Vegas very well.
I know. Like, I've never been, but I'm
telling it's on Fremont
Street. High roller. Yeah. So my question is, what are three popular songs that are guaranteed to put you in a good mood?
Okay.
This isn't rapid fire. You're okay.
Jesse James's trio with, Dag Nebbit. It was like 2 years ago. Son of a poop. Jesse James. It was a trio of women. Jesse James. Son of a poop. Somebody Google
Brian,
it.
Are you Googling?
Yeah.
Makes me so happy. Cool. I love the song.
Jesse James is an outlaw. Let's go to a different
one.
No,
it's not. Wait,
her you
name?
Mean Jesse J. J.
Sorry, Jesse J.
Oh, Bang Bang.
Bang Bang.
Bang Bang.
Oh, I love that.
You know you want it. And like every a cappella group has done a version of that song.
That's one.
Okay. That's a good choice.
It's such a great tune, isn't it? It's such a fabulous tune. Kelly Clarkson, is that her name?
Yeah.
She did a song about getting her boyfriend like was cheating on her. Is that the right? Am I thinking?
Are you
the,
talking about yeah. Carrie Underwood?
Underwood
for before he cheats.
Yeah.
Maybe next time he'll think before he. I dug my key into
Oh my God, love that tune. That tune.
We got pop, we got country.
Yes, I love me a little country. And there's a song, you'll never know it. It's I just had my phone. It's there's an album I got years ago, and it's songwriters that get together and do a live album in Martha's Vineyard. Can't remember the guy's name.
We're going at this
But
weekend.
It's called Summer Love. It's called Summer of Love, Summer Love. And it's basically, it's about this young, he writes, the songwriter sings, that's a song about there's a girl, popular girl, and he befriends her, and they don't ever have sex, but they make up, but then she gets pregnant. Everyone finds out. Nobody knows who the father is. The girl decides to keep it. She moves away, never comes back. They found out that the child was black. And I want to actually do something with this. Like, I feel like this is a great story. I don't know if it's a true story. I listen to it all the time. I should probably just find this writer.
Yeah.
I'm
expanding your piece.
It's a cool love. It's a cool album that they do live at some little bar, you know, and songwriters sing their songs. So.
Awesome.
I can't read.
That's
I'll
awesome.
You'll have to Google it, but I'm terrible. See? I suck. Oh, beep! Sorry.
No,
it's
And that has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay! Let's play one last game.
Oh, my God. Okay.
This one is kind of rapid fire. I'm just going to do a little round of Dirty Hands on a Hard Body, which is like a categories game.
Okay. I know what my category is going to be.
Oh, God. Shows that she's been in.
No. Colors of the coat.
No.
We're all going to just say orange.
Thank you.
Going
to
be like russet mauve. I don't know. Basically, you put two hands on the table.
Okay.
We're going to go around with a category. This way.
Okay.
Great podcasting. Just yep. my this hand way. In a circle.
That's this clockwise. Way.
Thank you.
Yep, there it goes. Because you know where we're sitting. Yes. That'll be a fun game. Just to have everyone guess.
Where are we
guess
sitting?
Where we sitting? Yeah. Oh, they'll find out as soon yeah. as we start playing the game. That's never mind.
True.
In a category, so for instance, if the category was colors, it would go
red,
blue.
Red. Oh no, I said red and Kevin said red, so I would put a hand up.
Gotcha.
Then one hand up, if you have two hands up, you're out.
Okay.
And we play till there's one lone victor.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna lose, so
if you get out, you get to choose the next category.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh god. Oh, I hope it's easy. Okay.
What was I gonna start with? Rock musicals.
Okay.
Cool. And we do a rhythm. I always forget this part because it's new. I'll start.
Cool. New comparatively.
We're going comparatively, right? Yeah, I'll start. And since we're doing this, we will rock you.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Rock of Ages.
American Idiot.
All right.
The American Idiot.
Hair.
Psycho. Is that it?
American yeah. Psycho?
American
Psycho. Oh, I was like, which one is that? Yeah. Carrie? Is that a rock musical? Or is that just a musical?
I don't think so.
It might just be a musical. I'll put my hand up for that.
The rhythm just went.
I don't know why I thought. It's really high.
That's all I thought is that I was like, what's a show where like a girl's like scrouting her face?
Right.
Well,
I was like,
Carrie
works.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm out. So I have a category. The category is Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you starting? Yeah.
This is easy, but I feel like we're going to fail.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Evita.
That's what I was going to say. Jesus Christ Superstar.
By Jeeves.
Meow. Love Never Dies.
Oh, that was Cats.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
School of Rock. Lady in White. Or Woman in White.
We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
We all went, uh-huh.
It's just a more polite way of saying who she is. Aspects of Love.
Sunset Boulevard.
Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Song and Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Am I out of this game?
Yeah.
Well, I get to pick a category for all you guys.
Yes.
Because I'm the only person who's gotten that. Okay. Movies. movies with, I'm trying to think of like a...
Colors.
Movies with Tom Hanks in them.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, okay.
Toy Story.
You've Got Mail.
Big.
Toy Story 2.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Toy Story 3?
Yep.
Toy Story 4.
No, sir!
The one with the dresses. Where he wears a dress, that's a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Bosom Buddies! Yeah. I love Bosom Buddies. I love Bosom Buddies.
I mean, I was
is
going
third,
all...
Third, him and Meg Ryan? Yeah. That's where I was trying
it's,
to go with
Joe
my
versus
life.
The Volcano is that, the first
oh, okay,
one.
Okay, there it is.
They were in that movie
Sleepless
together?
Sleepless in Seattle,
yeah.
And then
you've
got
Mail.
Yeah.
The two yep. I said.
But you pick the...
The category.
Category.
Musicals about... About teenagers.
Okay.
Next to Normal.
13.
Spring Awakening.
Suck, I suck. Oh my god, okay.
But now you get to decide the category.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
So sad I'm out.
The colors in the Technicolored coat.
Okay.
Kevin, can you Google it and check us?
Yes.
Kevin's going to actually check us on this because he's out.
Oh, God, but this is going to be so hard to keep track of. Like, wait, which one did she say?
Yeah.
Joseph's...
Colors.
Technicolor... Dream coat.
Lyrics.
Kevin.
Lyrics.
You're giving us a lot of time to think about
that. I know.
Joseph's... Is it Joseph's coat?
Yes.
That's what it says it all in there?
Yes. All right. I mean, the first few I'm sure we're going to get. It'll be fine.
Got it.
Right?
Got
all
it.
Right, here we go.
Ready?
Ready?
Okay.
And.
You go.
Oh, I go?
Yeah.
Red.
Yellow.
Blue.
Orange.
Russet.
Ochre.
Mauve. Nice.
Green.
Ah!
Here's the list of colors you missed.
Yeah. Wait, read it out loud.
You really read it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's it was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet and fawn and lilac and gold and chocolate and mauve and cream and crimson and silver and rose and azure.
Azure. Yeah.
And lemon and rusted and gray, purple, white, pink, orange. And then it's scarlet. Oh, then it starts over.
Yeah.
But so doesn't it end with and blue?
And blue. Yes.
Oh, scarlet is not. You hadn't said scarlet yet.
Oh, scarlet. Yes. Yeah. Oh, they an olive.
You said those already.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I said olive, but not scarlet.
I think you said scarlet.
I think you said scarlet you too.
Anyway, those are the colors.
We got them.
Yeah.
So Kimberly
we
got
should
an
memorize
eye
that as a fun party trick.
Sure.
Because those are the kinds of parties.
I was going to say, what kind of parties are we going to?
I don't know, the three of us hanging out at my house.
That's true. Yeah, those are the kind of parties we go
to. And we would enjoy that. All right, Kimberly, you pick one.
Okay. Oh, it's just the two of you now.
Oh, dear. Yes. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I'm trying to think of, like, what other show has a lot of colors to name?
I don't know.
Finian's Rainbow?
Okay.
That's all of Name the Rainbow.
Yeah, name all the colors in the rainbow.
Let's see. Songs or no, that's too hard. Let's just say musicals based on movies. Or classic movie musicals.
Classic movie musicals?
Yeah. Classic movie musicals. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
And you too can say if we're out of our range of what's considered classic.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
I will be the judge of classic.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Shall we?
We shall. West Side Story.
Sound of Music.
Grease.
Yes.
My Fair Lady.
Guys and Dolls.
Sure. Gigi.
Don't tell me. American in Paris.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oliver.
Oh, you're so good. Annie.
Ooh.
Funny Face?
Second Annie.
Annie Returns? What is it?
No, just the TV one with Rosie O'Donnell.
No, isn't there?
There was two.
There was an 82, but it was on, what was it? Like, no, there wasn't Annie 2.
Wait, yes, there was. I could picture the girl's
wasn't it
face
called Annie Warbucks?
Yes.
But it never made it on Broadway, the Annie
right,
2,
right?
Right,
yeah,
the marquee never went up, and then it never
then they
made
were like,
it
no, never yeah mind. Yeah.
All right. That's not keep going, I guess?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll keep going.
Really, there's more?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we can, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm okay with that.
Brian, you'll start.
Yeah,
you start.
Okay. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes. Oklahoma.
Oh. Carousel.
Oh, fuck, I was going to say that.
Right. Oh, Gordon McRae.
Oh, yummy. Oh, I'm down.
That's a real
I'm
man
out
right
I'm
there.
Out.
Oh. That's it, Brian wins.
Boo. See, Brian gets booed, too.
Oh, yeah, when Brian wins the game.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
Excellent. Oh, that was fun.
Thank you so
I
much.
I had no idea what to expect.
What we were
now,
doing with our
no
lives.
You, so you just said Jesus, Joseph and West...
Jesus!
West, Jesus, Joseph.
Just said, we're drunk, by the way. So
Jesus, Mary,
great
and Joseph in the West End.
Oh, I should, yes. Jesus, Mary, and Josephine. Okay.
But you also did a workshop recently, correct?
I did, yes. Yes, I did a three-week developmental lab and a new show called Super You. And
Kevin is super.
He
thanks for saying
totally, yes. Lord's Lane.
The Life and Times of Kevin J. But what is it about?
It's Lourdes Lane wrote music and lyrics, but she's fantastic. It's a rock musical. The music kicks butt. It's sensational. It's
and we definitely need more female like
yes,
representation
so,
in writers. That's amazing.
Really, really. I mean, and it's a superhero musical. It's basically the idea is owning and finding your self-worth and self-confidence, and if you do, then all your inner superheroes can survive, can flourish.
Cool.
But if the more that you doubt yourself, each individual superhero then loses its power.
Cool.
So,
that's
so,
really cool to think that, like instead of having, like, kryptonite for a superhero, that, like, their kryptonite is doubt.
Yeah.
Like, that's really
doubt
a play.
Yeah.
No, but that's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, it's really, you know, especially in today's world and everything, it just happens to center around a female, but it's universal. Anybody who has self-doubt and doesn't feel worth anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all go through.
I never have those feelings.
We're very confident.
Yeah. So confident.
We don't hide behind
That's
microphones.
That's why we're in this world. You know, but so, and, but it's fun, it's funny, and like the music is sensational. And so there's, we are looking at the Dara Roth Theater for possible spring, so we've just done a couple of site visits on it, and so... We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep your eyes open for that. We definitely will.
Super you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But go see Joseph in London.
Yes.
We would love to. I mean, if we get over there, we're definitely going to see it because this reimagining sounds incredible.
I don't know a lot about Joseph and have never seen it.
And let's also keep our fingers crossed that it might come over here.
They say whoever they are that it's slated to looks like 21. It's already doing Australia. Already wants it.
I read that somewhere. Yes. I think.
Well, if Sherry Smith
can definitely come over
woman.
Here and make her debut, I would be all about that. If they want to bring Carrie Hope Fletcher as well, I'm super into that as well. I know she's doing Les Mis because they just announced that they're doing Les Mis again over there.
Yes.
And she's playing Fontaine. But Carrie, if you're listening, please come to the New York City and perform.
Kevin wants to meet anyone who's ever been in Heather's.
So. I really, really desperately do, but she's just so lovely and such a wonderful person.
But thank you so much for taking the time and joining
you.
Us. Again, go see Joseph. Can we follow you anywhere on social media or... No, yes, go to your website.
I don't do social media, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm not.
Go see the show she choreographed.
I'm not going to follow her around New York.
Yeah.
I know that people do the hashtag of me, but I go, what does that mean? They say, well, you won't know because you don't have a Tweety or thingy. But I actually do have a Twitter account that never use. I think it's probably, it's dormant that winter. And I do have Instagram, but I opened them when they first started. Didn't really know what they meant. There might be 10 pictures up there.
But I
have to find out what my password or something. Yeah. I'm contemplating. Yeah.
Here is my password for social media.
It makes me so nervous. Anyway, yes.
You can follow us at Broad Wasted.
Hey, that's us.
Absolutely.
On Instagram.
Did you just say
Twitter?
Broadway Wasted?
Broad Wasted.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you can join our Facebook group for some theater nerdy stuff.
Totes.
You can find us on Patreon.
Yes, please.
What's Patreon?
So patreon.com/broadwasted. You can support us for as low as $5 a month.
Oh.
You'll get an extra podcast every month with some stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor, something we record special for you, and some other perks as well.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. We end every episode with a quote.
We do.
And today's quote is, when the world has screwed you and crushed you in its fist, when the way you're treated has got you good and pissed, there's been one solution since the world began. Don't just sit and take it. Take it to the man.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Amen.
But as we end every episode, we raise our glasses.
Oh, yes.
We do.
Again, we really, really, really thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is the most fun interview.
Yay!
And kooky and unexpected.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
That's our tagline.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
I have no idea what I just did, but
that's cool. That's a little magic changes for you.
That's the end of those magic changes from Greece.
Oh.
Yeah, that's basically the reaction we always get.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.